Good evening. Our topic this evening is prayer. And when I think of prayer, there is a verse that comes to my mind that has always fascinated me. And it's found in James 5:16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." But it's the next two verses that make this verse so remarkable to me. Elisha was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I just look at that and I say, what? I used to wonder, how could that be? Elisha was a prophet of God. His name means, "My Lord is Jehovah." He left a legacy of unwavering faith. He confronted King Ahab on Mount Carmel. He performed powerful miracles again and again. And as God provided for Elisha, he also used him to provide for a poor widow and her sons who had planned to eat their last meal and die. He was the instrument that God used to raise a young boy back to life. Elisha had such a strong commitment to God and his commandments that at the end of his life, God took him to heaven in a chariot of fire. So when we hear about people like Elisha, we can tend to think that they are super saints, that God must have given them a different nature than us ordinary believers. Yet here it is. Elisha was a man with a nature like ours. We're going to come back to that later, so hang on to that thought. But the Bible has so much to say about prayer, and this evening I want to narrow our focus on two aspects of prayer. That is prayers of supplications and prayers of intercession. And I'll try to connect the dots between the command to pray as found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, which says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." To what Jesus said was the greatest commandment from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The second is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these." Matthew's writing says it this way: "On these two commandments hang the whole law and prophets." So in other words, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself, is the foundation for all other commands, including the one from 1 Timothy 2:1, which says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Loving God and loving others is the underlying motivation and framework in fulfilling all of God's commands. So far we see that we are told to pray and to pray prayers of supplication and intercessory prayers. And what God tells us to do, they're not suggestions. He is our Lord and Master, and His word is our command. But He doesn't want our obedience to just come from a duty to serve, but rather from a motivation of our love for Him and love for others. So supplication and intercession are not words commonly used in casual conversation, so I want to give a brief description of what they mean and how they differ from prayer. So first of all, prayer is talking to God. It's a way of communicating with our Lord, to connect with and express ourselves to Him and listen as He responds to us through the Holy Spirit. Spoken prayer is not the only means of communication. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, and that would be impossible to do if prayer was speaking words alone. Rather, it is to maintain a continuous consciousness of God and to be aware of His presence. It is to keep the lines of communication open by having a clear conscience through obedience and repentance of anything that prohibits our prayers. It is maintaining a respectful attitude of reverence and awe toward God. It's having a continuous, biblical, hope-based faith, love and appreciation for who He is. It's clinging to Him as He holds you. It is staying connected by abiding in Him continually and acknowledging Him in all things. Prayer engages our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's supernatural that we, the created, can communicate with the Creator, God Almighty. That's a gift and an unbelievable privilege. God wants a relationship with us, a loving, intimate, personal relationship that involves communication. He's paid the ultimate price in order that we can have this kind of relationship with Him. And prayer is indispensable in the life of a Christian. And to clarify, I want to read the meaning of indispensable. To be indispensable means to be absolutely necessary, essential, or vital. It is someone or something that can't be done without. It implies a crucial role or function where the absence would significantly hinder or prevent something from happening or being complete. James 4:8 tells us to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. So this is an invitation with a promise. When we make an effort to draw near to God, He responds by drawing close to us. So we've probably all experienced the difference in hugging someone that kind of draws away from you and stiffens up, or someone that leans into your hug and embraces you. When we go to God humbly in prayer, He will always embrace us. He's always listening to our prayers. He responds as we draw near to Him. He draws near to us. The Bible confirms this over and over again. And just to name a couple verses, Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Psalms 145, 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." Now, picture the prodigal son when he's returning to his father's house. Luke 15:20 said, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." See, that's the heart of our Heavenly Father. He loves us, and He wants to pursue He wants us to pursue the relationship with Him. And prayer is an indispensable part of that relationship. And no one prayed more effectively and with more love than Jesus. His closest disciples were so impressed with Jesus' prayer life that they asked Him to teach them how to pray. And from that request, Jesus gave to us what is known as the Lord's Prayer, or as some call it, the model prayer. So this evening, we're going to take our instructions of how to pray prayers of supplication and intercessory prayers from the Lord's own words. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. "In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So when Jesus said, "Pray in this manner, Our Father," this is not just a title, it's an expression of our dependence on Him, our confidence that He will hear and answer our prayers. It is an expression of our faith, but it is also an expression of our love. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Running to God for all of our needs is a way of acknowledging our need of Him. He is our Father, our provider, our protector, our rock, and our fortress. No matter what our need may be, He is the one who has the solution. He isn't just a Father. He is our Father. the one who loves us. Not all prayers are prayers of supplication, but all supplications are prayers. Supplications is going to God in prayer for a specific need in our life. When we do, again, it is an acknowledgement of our dependence on Him to provide what we stand in need of. It can involve a sense of urgency or an expression of a deep need or heartfelt desire. An example of that would be Hannah in the temple as she prays for a son. 1 Samuel 1:10 tells us, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And in verse 15, she tells Eli the priest that she is deeply troubled and that she was pouring out her soul to the Lord. See, Hannah brought her broken heart to the Lord because she knew what is still true today in our deepest sorrows. God is the only one that can give us the comfort we need. He is the only one who can truly mend a broken heart. He is the one who gives beauty for ashes. He takes what Satan means for evil and he uses it for good. And he has the ability to give us the desires of our heart. Now Hannah knew what David knew when he wrote Psalms 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. And so she took her request, her prayer of supplication to the Lord in faith that he would hear, in faith that he cared, and in faith that he had the power and wisdom to answer her plea. So let's take a closer look at the prayer of supplication. We saw that in 1 Timothy 2:1, we're exhorted to pray prayers of supplication. And we also find the same exhortation in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now this verse says, in everything by prayer and supplication. So a quick definition about everything is, well, everything, all things. And just for fun, I looked up the biblical meaning of everything and found this partial description that is applicable to this verse, and it read, totality of experience, from the smallest moments to the grandest events. Everything is within the scope of God's plan and purpose. So we not only have this incredible privilege of bringing every need to God, he invites us to. Hebrews 12:39. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. That is, any and every need, we can bring it all to God. Nothing is too big and nothing is too small. God cares about any and everything that concerns his children. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul is telling us what to do when those circumstances arise that tend to make us anxious. Instead of being anxious, bring it all to God. Pour your heart out to him, all of it, and burden yourself at his feet. Make your requests known to him. Hold nothing back. Be bold in your prayers. Our God is a big God. Jeremiah 32:17. Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Be bold and be specific with your supplications. When we are specific, instead of making vague requests, it draws us into a closer relationship with God. And for clarification, think about times in your life when you were suffering and people ask you, how are you today? If it was an acquaintance or someone you wasn't quite sure you could trust, you probably said, well, I'm fine, thanks. Now think of the difference and what it meant to you to have a dear, trusted friend that you could completely be honest with and pour your heart out to. The experience would have deepened your relationship. Intimacy has been described as into me see. So into me see. God doesn't want a, I'm fine, thank you, relationship with us. He wants an intimate relationship where we willingly expose every struggle and every joy with him. Being specific in prayer helps us process with the Lord what we are going through. He will guide our thoughts and bring scripture to mind that brings about a right perspective. My prayer partner always says, when we pray, God sets our compass. And another thing being specific does is it helps us to see and recognize the answer to our prayer request. The greatest witness that God answers prayers are, in fact, answered prayers. And keep in mind, they are requests, not suggestions or demands, but rather humble, earnest pleas to the Almighty God. Something I haven't mentioned yet, but that you may have noticed in both verses we looked at about prayer of supplication and intercession, we're told in 1 Timothy 2, but in everything by prayer and supplication and giving of thanks. And Philippians 4, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So there are prayers of thanksgiving, and those prayers are focused on giving God thanks. And these prayers, both of supplication and of intercession, are with thanksgiving. So in one of the simplest prayers of supplication that I could think of is found in Matthew 14. And this is while Peter walked on the water toward Jesus. It says, he saw that the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Well, you can only imagine how his heart would have been filled with gratitude because Jesus was there for him to call upon. He knew Jesus would save him, and Jesus did save him. And we should have that same gratitude because Jesus is here, and Jesus does save. He taught us we are to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In every prayer, we are to acknowledge who it is we are praying to. Not only is he Abba, Father, he is God, Most High, everlasting God. He is majestic and holy. Every prayer should be given with gratitude, grateful for the privilege of speaking to God. As we consider who it is we are praying to, we hallow his name. And the reality of who he is begins to come into focus as we honor him, which naturally brings us to an appreciation for who he is. And as we do, he reveals our problems in a different light. As the old hymn reminds us, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his marvelous face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. David, a man after God's own heart, he understood this. His psalms are full of admiration and appreciation and love for God. He knew God was always with him, always listening to him, and greater than any trial that he would ever face. And I love the 121st Psalms when he said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. He is not far from any of us. He is always available. God has proven his love for us over and over again. And the more we know him, the more we will love him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And love and appreciation go hand in hand, as does trust and faith. And this brings us to your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A fervent prayer of the righteous, the kind that availeth much, is a prayer for the Lord's will to be done. It is to trust that he knows best. It is to be surrendered to his will, whether we understand it or not. Intercessory prayers are the prayers we pray on behalf of others, seeking God's intervention, mercy, or guidance for their needs. The term intercession means to intervene or mediate between God and another person or situation. Whether we're praying for ourselves or someone else, we must be surrendered to God's will. And as women, we generally, those we love deeply. And as we intercede for them, we may have a harder time accepting God's will for them than we would even for ourselves if it doesn't align with what we think is best for them. And when we struggle with this, we may know in our head that God's will is best, but our heart screams, no. How can this be? I can't accept this. Sometimes, in order to find peace, we have to realign our hearts. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. If we can't accept God's will for a loved one, we may need to ask ourselves, is it because I love that person with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? See, loving others was never intended to be a love equal to the love of our Father. Effective prayers are submitted humbly to God, seeking his will and his glory above all else, because he is the one in our heart that is to be above all else. And remember that God loves that person you are praying for more than you could ever imagine, and he knows what is best for them. I am going to share something from my journal, something that I wrote a few years ago that expresses my heart in this and truthfully exposes my need to grow in it. What I wrote is, not my will but thine be done. This is my heart's cry, but not because I've arrived at a place of total surrender where I've laid my thoughts and wishes aside. Not that I am ready and willing to make any and all sacrifices necessary to do the will of God. No, my heart's cry of not my will but thine be done comes from a different motivation. It's really more of a selfish desire when you get right down to it. You see, I've learned that God's will is always in my best interest. His will really is good, perfect, and pleasing. I know that if I could see things from his perspective, I would always choose what he has chosen for me. I don't have the wisdom he has. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows where every decision will lead, and I am totally dependent on him, and I am head over heels in love with my Lord and my Savior. He has proven himself to be faithful, kind, and compassionate. He is my protector, refuge, and friend. I can't trust my own thoughts or feelings. They're always changing. He is steadfast and sure, my anchor, my rock. I can trust him completely, and that is why I say, not my will, but thine be done. And I wish that I never questioned God's will or fought against it, but I still struggle. When God doesn't answer my prayers in the way I hoped he would, when a loved one dies, a marriage ends, a career is destroyed, a home is burnt to the ground, a child is hurt, an unexpected diagnosis is given, when there is an ongoing trial, the list is endless. But what I've found is when we are disappointed, angry, or discouraged because God hasn't answered our requests the way we hoped he would, it is never, never, ever because he failed us. His understanding is so much greater than our own. You see, he is God, and we are not. His thoughts are not our thoughts, nor are his ways his way. His word declares, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How can we possibly understand all that he does and all that he allows into our lives? We can't. But we can trust him to do what is right. He doesn't say he will never give us, he doesn't say he will give us everything we want. He doesn't say we won't have any battles, heartaches, pain, or suffering. He does promise to be with us to cause all things to work together for good, to give us a hope and a future, a peace that passes understanding, joy in the midst of sorrow, strength for the battles, and an eternity where God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be no more pain, for the former things will have passed. When we see Jesus face to face, we will know that he answered every prayer we ever prayed, every supplication. He weighed in his loving hands, and he did the very best possible thing he could have done for us. I know that some of you are going through a really hard time. You've been asking God to help you, but you don't know what's going to happen. And at times, it may feel like you're just not going to make it. And I want to encourage you not to give up. Keep bringing your needs to him. There's not a problem too big for God. There's not a situation he can't redeem. Nothing is beyond his reach or out of his control. Whatever you are going through, he will see you through as you trust in him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust him to see you through. He knows what's up ahead and how to lead you on the path to where you need to be. And don't try to carry your burdens alone. God tells us to pray for one another. This is what intercessory prayers are all about. When we are in the midst of a battle, we need those who will come alongside of us with their prayers, interceding on our behalf until the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. Note how many times he says us and our. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. These are not just supplication prayers for our needs, but we see that we are to pray for others' needs as well as our own. And this is in response to the second greatest commandment, to love others as ourselves. It's been said that intercessory prayers might be defined as loving our neighbor on our knees. I want to say something that intercessory prayer is not. It is not sending good thoughts or prayers to whomever you pray to. It is not good vibes. And these are common expressions used to convey support and well wishes to someone during a challenging time. It's meant to bring about a sense of shared positivity. And I repeat, this is not, nor does it compare to intercessory prayers. Intercessory prayers are an appeal to God. And as I said before, communicating with God is supernatural. We aren't just sending thoughts out in space. We are speaking to God, our Father. He hears our prayers and he answers them. When someone has a need, there is nothing greater you can do for that person than to bring their need to God. Our God, who according to Philippians 4:19, shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I grew up around men and women who believed in the power of prayer. And I know they did because I saw them practice it. They brought their needs to God, believing that he would hear and answer them. And they thank God for the many prayers that he did answer. They prayed for each other. And they also prayed that God would give them a greater burden to pray for one another. And I can remember hearing them say things like, when we're as burdened for one another and their children and the people they love, we're going to see more souls come to Christ. And what I saw and what I heard had an impact on how I view prayer. They practiced what they believed, and I saw firsthand that God hears and answers prayers. Now, this isn't the only reason to have an active prayer life, but it is a good reason. Someone is watching you. Be that person that shows them that God hears and answers prayers. Intercessory prayers strengthen our faith in God and love for others. And I'll say it again, prayer is supernatural. Not only does God give us the ability to speak to God, but he also works in us as we pray. He grows our faith. He enlarges our capacity for love and compassion for those we pray for. He strengthens relationships and builds bonds as we share each other's burdens. He aligns our will with His own. And through intercessory prayer, we are given the great privilege and opportunity to participate in what God is doing. Corrie Ten Boom said this, "We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that He will get us involved in His plan for the answer. If we are true intercessors, we must be ready to take part in God's work on behalf of the people for whom we pray." So we find throughout Scripture that interceding for others is a part of God's plan. And as Corrie Ten Boom said, we must be ready to take part in God's work on behalf of the people for whom we pray. And we also need to be ready to take part in the work God is doing in the lives of those that others are praying for. See, you see, I may not be able to reach my loved one, but someone else may do or say something that ministers to them in a way that I never could. And Oswald Chambers had this to say about intercessory prayer. God brings you to places among people and into certain conditions to accomplish a definite purpose through the intercession of the Spirit in you. Your part in intercessory prayer is not to agonize over how to intercede, but to use everyday circumstances and people God puts around you by His providence to bring them before His throne and to allow the Spirit in you the opportunity to intercede for them. In this way, God is going to touch the whole world with His saints. So when I pray for the salvation of people I love, I'll often ask the Lord to bring people and circumstances into their lives that point them to Himself. And as I pray this prayer, I am keenly aware of my desire for those people that God brings into their lives to do that, to point them to Jesus. And at the same time, I realize that I have a responsibility to do that for the people that God brings into my life. As Oswald Chambers said, in this way, God is going to touch the whole world. I don't want that person who has the opportunity to reach my loved one to fail in their responsibility, nor do I want to be the one who has failed when God is calling me to be used in someone else's prayer of intercession for their loved ones. True prayers of supplication and intercessory prayers seek God's glory, not our own. Our prayer should always be an expression of love to our Father and each other, a means of drawing near to God, a sign of dependence on Him and trust in Him. Our prayers should always be given with thanksgiving to our loving Father who hears and answers our prayers. And now, did you remember that I said we would come back to James 5, 16 through 18? This time I'm going to read it from the NIV. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elisha was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." As you begin to experience this truth, that prayer is powerful because God hears and answers our prayers, prayer gets really exciting. It becomes your lifeline. It truly is essential for every believer. Prayer is effective because God designed it to be so. Martin Luther rightfully said this, "None can believe how powerful prayer is and what it is able to affect but those who have learned it by experience." This is why the enemy will fight you every possible way he can to keep you from praying, because he knows how powerfully the Lord works through the prayers of a righteous man or woman. Elisha was a man with a nature like ours, a human. He was a righteous man, but so are we if we placed our faith in the righteousness of Christ and are living for Him. Elisha prayed according to God's word, and he trusted the Lord's will and character completely. This is evident in the pronouncement to King Ahab that God would stop the rain, and he prayed for this to happen according to God's word as found in Deuteronomy 11:16. which said, "But don't be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest." Elisha was also convinced that God would send the rain once the people had repented and turned back to God. So when they did, he prayed again. And Elisha prayed again. And Elisha prayed again. Elisha prayed 7 times, always believing that God would do what he said he would do according to his word, which was also in Deuteronomy. "If you carefully obey all the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons." And the word says, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And we can have that same confidence in our prayers because Jesus tells us in John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire and it will be done for you." Now, Jesus also told his disciples a story about a persistent widow in Luke 18, tells us. Jesus told this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Remember, Elijah prayed and he prayed and he prayed, but he knew God was going to answer that prayer, because his word said he would. And so he just continued. And if there's something that you're praying for, don't give up. Just keep praying. Be persistent. God hears you. And in the due season, when the time is right, he will answer. Elisha was a man who abided in Christ. He aligned his will with God's according to God's word. Praying the word of God is powerful because we know it is according to his will. Elijah was also seeking God's glory, not his own. And in order for God to receive glory, he was willing to make whatever sacrifice that meant for himself. So he lived through that 3.5 years of drought. He suffered during those years like everyone else. When the brook that had supplied him water dried up, God sent him to a poor widow woman who had nothing to offer him. His prayers were effective because he depended on God. Even when it took years to see change, even when the little he had was taken from him, even when no one else but God could help him, even then, he continued to trust his father. He knew that he could because he was sure of his father's love for him. And in return, he loved the Lord, his God, with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He believed God's will to be good, perfect, and pleasing, and that his way was the best way, whether he understood it or not. Because Elisha was willing to obey his Lord and risk his own life for the sake of others, God used him in a mighty way to turn the nation of Israel back to himself. Elisha knew better than anyone that he was just a man. He didn't depend upon his own power to perform miracles. He knew that all the power, glory, and honor was the Lord's. He was God's humble servant. Through his obedience, he experienced a life that only God could produce and would have never happened apart from the intimate relationship with his Lord and Savior. And as we read this passage from James 5:16-18, I'm going to read it one more time. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elisha was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The emphasis here is to pray. Pray for yourselves. Pray for each other. Pray for God's will. Pray with confidence that God hears and answers prayers. Pray to your Father who loves you. Express your love to him and for others through your prayers. And I'm going to close with these words from Psalms 34. "I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy." And I pray that more and more this would be your experience. Father, we are so grateful that we can come to you. God, we're so grateful that you have not only allow it, but you desire it. Thank you for your promise that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. God, I thank you for your presence here this evening. I just pray that you would speak to each heart. God, if there's anyone here that's carrying a burden, I pray that they will find someone to pray with them, to share that burden. Lord, help us to intercede on behalf of each other. Help us to bring all of our cares, all of our concerns, and all of our joy, and all of our thanksgiving to you, Lord. Help us to pray without ceasing, knowing that you are always with us, always listening, always loving us. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.